Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. We were just doing Netflix, all things Hollywood and entertainment. Hokie Steve walks in, and you just wanted to talk Back to the Future.
I just said, great Scott! That's what I said.
It's one of my favorite films. So how do you rank them? Because
numero uno. Not even close. And then three, and then two.
Really?
I don't like two.
I love two.
I don't like two.
Because you get the future and the past.
I know. I just don't like two. For whatever reason, you know, maybe it's because Marty McFly got fired by Fax or whatever. But I just, one is solid, solid, solid.
Yeah.
Three's pretty good. And then, but yeah, two, eh.
So I don't like three that much because I don't like Westerns, really.
I don't either. And the only reason I like it is because, you know, it's part of the part of the three. But
yeah.
I would actually go one, and then there's a huge drop off. Yeah.
Yeah. The reason I like two so much is because I'm such a fan of one that it's basically the same scenes reimagined from a different perspective.
Right, I know.
And I think that's always fun.
It's, again, there's a very few movies that every time when I'm like just flipping through when there's like nothing on, like right now.
Yeah.
Because the Orioles and the Nats are so bad. I'm stopping.
Yeah.
If it's one, I'm 100% stopping. If it's two and three, I'm probably stopping, but definitely for one.
Yeah, and you're right. There's not much going on in the sports world. We opened the show by talking about a little Wimbledon. We've got the Club World Cup going on and the Gold Cup for soccer. But what's the biggest thing in your sports world?
Well, I was going to say, you know, hats off to a former Hokie player producing Antonio Freeman, if you know that story, right? You know the story, right?
Yeah.
He's a Baltimore guy, grew up in Baltimore, played at Virginia Tech, went on to play, you know, for the Green Bay Packers, won a Super Bowl. And then I just kind of flipped it over last night, and they're in PKs, and boom, there's his boy knocking one in.
Yeah.
So that was awesome. I mean, that's it. I mean, I'm a diehard O fan. I'm watching the Orioles every night. What a crazy week last week, you know? You know, we said, you know, figure out a way to go 4-1 or 4-2 or 5-1, 3-3. You know, they just can't get away from win one, lose one. And then what happened? And then they almost got no hit by Jake DeGrom on Wednesday night.
I saw that.
Literally one hitter. And then Friday night, 22 runs, 21 hits. And then I look at the Nats box score, 15-9. They pounded out 19 hits. So Friday night between our two teams, 37 runs on 40 hits.
Yeah, I mean, that 22-8 score is just wild to look at. It feels like an NFL score.
Yeah, I know. The Orioles put up a 7th spot in the bottom of the 8th when it was already 15-8 or whatever it was. And they were, if you remember, they got behind in that game early. They were down 6-0 in that game. So, I mean, again, they won the series against Tampa. They went, you know, they're 2-1. They're back on the road tonight again, just like last Monday night. Trevor Rogers, who pitched a great game last Monday night, three-hitter against Patrick Corbin. So they're out in Texas. They got three, and then they come home. They go to Atlanta for three, and then they're back home next Monday against the New York Mets.
I think that one of the things that's sticking out to me is how good the AL East is as a whole right now.
Well, I know. I'm just going to pull it up here real quick. But
Yankees,
you know,
48-35. Tampa 47-37, and Toronto now 45-38.
But again, go back to the last couple of years, it's the same thing because, you know, the Orioles last year, even 2 years ago when they won 101 games, Tampa won like 98 or whatever it was. So right now, if the playoffs started today, there would be three teams from the East in the playoffs.
Absolutely. We were talking about the Washington Nationals and their struggles. I could totally see Davey Martinez being fired before the end of this season.
Yeah.
I don't understand why there's so much blame, it feels like, on Rizzo, when I think it's easy. It's ownership, and it's Davey Martinez.
Yeah. I mean, you could, again, you could almost look at the same thing with the Orioles, with, you know, Mike Elias and what he didn't do over this offseason they lost Burns, their number one guy. He didn't go out. He went out and got a couple guys that are decent. Certainly, you know, Sagano's been pretty good, and thankfully Charlie Morton's come on recently, but he didn't go out and do anything. In the offseason, they just kind of floundered. They had a kind of a mediocre spring training. They got up to a horrendous start. They kind of got rid of Brandon Hyde. So now it's Tony Massolino's job to win or lose, and right now, to me, he's been very unimpressive. Kind of same thing going on with the Nats.
We are basically 2 weeks away from the MLB All-Star break.
Yes.
And I feel like the All-Star game has gone down. The All-Star festivities in the last few years have gone down.
Yeah, it used to be for me like must-see TV. And I go back, listen, I'm much older than you. I loved it when they would wear their uniforms. That, you know, Cal had on his white Orioles uniform, mm-hmm. or whoever, you know, got Jim Rice or whoever I'm watching. You know, it was cool then. That now they've gone to all this new gear, and I'm sounding like an old guy, I guess, because I am. But it's not a must see. I'll watch a little bit of it, but I won't watch the whole thing.
No,
no way.
No, it's not as good as it used to be, and I don't know. I feel like they've made it too gimmicky, especially with the home run derby.
Yeah, I mean, I will watch that just to see, but it's not, you know, it used to be like, you know, hey, Monday night home run derby, Tuesday night MLB All-Star game, had to watch it. It just, you know, again, it just hasn't, over the life of the last, you know, especially 10 to 12 years, I just kind of have lost interest in it.
How about this, as we talk a little Major League Baseball? Shohei Ohtani dials in 101.7 miles per hour pitch, the fastest pitch of his career. It's good to see him back on the mound. Are they going to use him in the postseason on the mound?
I think they will if they can. I mean, certainly, you know, he's a legendary, you know, he's a lifer, right? I mean, he's just one of those guys that when you can do what he does on the mound, when you can do what he does with the bat, I mean, who's been doing that for the last 50-100 years? Nobody.
Right.
So, yeah, they'll use him as much as they can. Obviously, they got to protect him. But, I mean, God, I'd love to see him. I'd love to see him at Baltimore one day, and they're not going to happen. But,
yeah.
God, he is a lifetime, one of the lifetime talent guys.
Well, they're saying he turned down the Major League Baseball Home Run Derby this year. That's another reason not to watch there.
Yeah.
Would have been awesome. But as we're doing a little Major League Chew here, so, you know, talking about the Baltimore Orioles here, who are their best young talent moving forward here towards the second half of the season? You think you can get more out of them?
Well, I mean, obviously, Adley's on the DL. I mean, he's going to come back after the All-Star break. We need to see more out of him. We actually need to see more out of Gunner.
Yeah.
The guys that have been solidly consistent for the Orioles this year is like Ryan O'Hearn, a guy that you don't mention in that group of five or six top guys. It's a guy like Ryan O'Hearn. It's a guy like Colton Cowser. Now that he's back, he's hitting the ball. The guys that you expect, the Ryan Mountcastles and the Gunners and the Adleys, they need to step up in the second half. Cedric Mullins needs to step up in the second half.
Yeah, no,
so
I'm
all
with
the above.
There. I'm kind of blown away with the Phillies. They're at the top of the NL East, and it's a similar situation where Phillies and Mets are going to battle till the final day of the season, it feels like.
They are, but how about what the Pirates did to the Mets this weekend?
Yeah.
30-4, they won 9-1, 9-1, and 12-2 or whatever, something like that. I mean, the Pirates are one of the worst teams in baseball. The Mets go to Pittsburgh, and they actually get shellacked three games in a row. So crazier things have happened, but you're right. It's definitely going to be a Philadelphia-New York Met deal. Right now, same thing with in the East. You know, I think Tampa's really good, and I think it's going to come down between. I'd love to see those hop back in there too if they can get on a win streak. But I really think it's going to come down between the Rays and the Yankees for that division.
Yeah, and then I think it ends up being, you know, one of those teams versus Detroit.
Detroit's solid.
Yeah,
they are so good.
Absolutely. So yesterday in the Washington Nationals 7-4 win against the Angels, the young guys like C.J. Abrams,
yep,
and House were good at the plate. James Wood walked four,
yep,
times.
I know.
The first time since Barry Bonds.
That's crazy. He's got a great eye.
Is that a respect thing? Is that like the situation of the game, understanding that maybe no one else can burn you in the lineup where he's slotted? Or is this just, with 22 home runs, he's getting that much respect?
I think it's all the above. Like you said, he's not protected by anybody, so we can walk him and we'll take our chances, right? We'll put him on base, and the likelihood that he's going to get, you know, to second or third or whatever, come home, not so great. So even though the Nats won yesterday, they took two out of three from the Angels, he's just like that guy right now that they can afford to do that. You can't afford to do that with the Yankees. You can't afford to do that with the Phillies or the Mets or whoever, but you can afford to do that with the Nats.
Yeah, so you look at the Nats and the record's not good, but James Wood, one of the best young hitters in baseball.
Yeah.
Mackenzie Gore, one of the best young pitchers, near the top of the list for strikeouts. So they've got their ace. They've got their best hitter. They need the rest of the young guys to come up and play together better. And then I think it comes down to managing. Like, so many situations late in a game, Davey Martinez has struggled.
And they've got the number one pick overall in the MLB draft coming up.
Yeah, and so, there are people wondering, should Mike Rizzo be the one making that pick?
To me, that pick has got to be Cade Anderson. If you know that guy from LSU, I mean, if I'm the Nats, I am drafting Cade Anderson number one overall.
Tell me why, because there's been a lot of talk this week that we don't know who's the best prospect.
If you watch the College World Series like I did, he was this year's Paul Skeens, and he was just solid. I mean, he is just a machine. And to me, you always take, if you've got a pitcher like that with LSU had, and obviously he faced great talent over the course of the last couple of years, you always take pitching. If you've got that guy out there, I'm not saying he's Paul Skeens, but he's really good. And I think if you've got the number one draft pick and you can get a pitcher, you take a pitcher.
That's Hokie Steve. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan, broadcasting live from Capitol Ale House here in Innsbruck. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new sports radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. And we are taking the show on the road for the 2025 ACC kickoff in Charlotte, North Carolina for July 21st to July 25th, a full week of ACC coverage. And you guys know, we bring Frank Maloney from Who's Talking to cover all things UVA. But I'm happy to announce this year we're bringing Hokie Steve Adams, to cover Virginia Tech about 3 weeks away.
Yeah, I know.
And I think we're going to sit down with Bill Belichick.
We are.
I'm desperate to get Ron Rivera on the show so I can tell him to his face how much he set my franchise back for years. We'll have UVA coach, Virginia Tech football coach, maybe even a Dabo Sweeney. It's going to be a ton of fun just 3 weeks away.
Yeah, all those guys would be good to have on. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, and looking forward to catching up with Frank as well. Good buddies with him. But, you know, there's a lot of interesting games, really, that kick off the first week of the season. Obviously, the Hokies are down in Atlanta to take on South Carolina and Shane Beamer. you know, the Gamecocks are about a 9.5-point favorite. So, you know, if you had to nail me down right now, I would say the Gamecocks would probably cover that. But here's some other really interesting games week one. And there's a bunch of AC, just like that, there's a bunch of ACC-SEC games. You've got LSU at Clemson. Huge game.
Huge game.
Huge game. You've got that's the number two quarterback in the country, Cade Klubnik, against the number two quarterback in the country, Garrett Nussmeier, against the number three quarterback, Cade Klubnik. So you've got, besides Manning.
And both those teams want to be in the college football playoffs.
Absolutely. You've got Dabo versus Brian Kelly. The Tigers, Death Valley versus Death Valley. The Clemson Tigers are a three-point early favorite on that one. I'm a huge homer guy, meaning if you play at home in college football, I would say that minus three is probably like a minus six.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the Clemson Tigers in that game.
I would even say more, because like in the NFL, it's given home field is 3 points. In college, it might be six.
In college, I whatever it is, I'm doubling it. If it's three, it's six. If it's six, it's 12. Because in college football, it's such a big deal to play, especially early in the season when you're playing at home, you're undefeated. The other team, I mean, you're talking a top 10 game right there. LSU will be a super, really good team in the SEC this year. I love that game. And that game is Saturday night down in Death Valley, Clemson, South Carolina, Death Valley. But how about this one? Alabama opens up the season at Florida State. Obviously, the Noles had a horrendous year last year. They were 2-10. FSU is, I'm sorry, they're not a 2-10 team. They're going to be much better. And Alabama's breaking in not only a new quarterback, probably Ty Simpson, a new offensive coordinator in Ryan Grubb, and they've got to go to Tallahassee and play at Florida State. So they're a 13-point favorite in that game. I think Alabama may win the game. I like FSU to cover big time in that.
Let me ask you this: do you think that our audience, the majority of our audience, remembers 2025 national champions for football?
I would say yes. I would say yes.
I think a lot of people forgot that Notre Dame went on that run. And I think my question is, you know, does the ACC need to get a team to the semifinals this year? Can they win a game this year, right? I mean, they had Clemson in.
And
a lot of people didn't want SMU in.
Right.
They were in, and they both lost
in
the first round. I feel like there's a lot of pressure on the ACC to not just get a team in the college football playoffs, but have that team make some noise this year.
Well, and that's Clemson to me. I mean, obviously they are loaded. They've got a lot of guys back. They've got Klubnik back. And the schedule sets up favorably for them. But that's why I'm saying to get a team in the college football playoff, or to get multiple teams in the college football playoff, you've got to win some of these games early. And these are the games that I'm talking about. Yeah, you got to do well in your conference, and you got to obviously get to the championship or ACC championship game. But, I mean, you've got LSU, Clemson, you've got Alabama, FSU, you've got, and this is kind of a freaky one too, Syracuse plays Tennessee, also Atlanta, the day before the Hokies play USC.
Let's focus in on Florida State and Alabama for a second.
Yep.
Alabama's going to be picked to get to the college football playoffs. Florida State will not.
No doubt.
After the way they ended last season, 2-10. But you believe they're much better than that this year.
I just, knowing the talent that you know, that Mike Norvell gets down there. Last year was just a one-off, fluky type of year. I'm convinced that, to me, the Florida States that I grew up with, the Florida States under Bobby Bowden, certainly under Jimbo Fisher, and even under Mike Norvell, that's an 8-9-10 wins team usually. So what happened last year? That was just a one-off. They will be much better this year. Are they good enough right out of the box to beat Alabama? I don't know. We'll see. I think they will cover that 13 for sure. And Thomas Castellanos, who we talked about last week, the BC transfer, he in the last 2 years, just him alone, he's done 33 touchdown passes for BC. He rushed for over 1,000 yards 2 years ago, and he's a pretty good quarterback. And so he went down to FSU last year and beat them when he was with BC. So the fact that Alabama's breaking in a new quarterback, a new offensive coordinator, you know, look out, Ty, maybe.
Last year in the ACC, Cam Ward led Miami to a strong record. He went number one overall.
Yep.
Clemson finished 10-4 and into the college football playoffs with an ACC title win. Only one team was undefeated in conference play. That was SMU.
That was SMU.
And Rhett Lashley's squad. They've got an interesting first few weeks. Second week of the season, Baylor.
Yep.
After that, 2 weeks later, TCU. And then they get into their ACC schedule here. What are your thoughts for year two in the ACC for SMU?
I was quite honestly, I was surprised he did as well as he did last year. I thought they were going to come. I thought they were going to be pretty good because they score a ton of points. I mean, they were scoring a ton of points in the AAC, and they've continued to do that in the ACC overall. But I'm a huge Rhett Lashley guy. As I said last year, obviously ACC Coach of the Year, did a great job. They'll be as good. They'll be good this year. But guess what? People, they stuck up on some people last year. Let's call it what it is.
Yeah.
I think this year SMU will be more of the hunted than the huntee.
Yeah. No, I'm with you there. So when we get to ACC kickoff, Belichick's number one.
Yep.
Number two, I think it is Clemson national championship level good, because Dabo's going to be under some pressure once again this year. I think number three, third biggest topic is Rhett Lashley's SMU team, the Mustangs, going maybe back to the college football playoffs. Can they take a step forward in the ACC, or are they going to take a step back? And then I think number four, we mentioned, it's Mike Norvell in Florida State.
Well, I also got to throw in Carson Beck.
And Miami.
And listen, Miami was headed for the college football playoff.
Yeah.
Until the train wreck at the end of the season. So what Mario Cristobal has done with the Canes in a short period of time, and then you throw in Carson Beck, who, you know, again,
I don't even think he's that good.
Well,
He
was on a great team. I think he's going to be on a pretty good team this year too. We'll find out. But I think you got to throw the Miami Hurricanes and Mario Cristobal into that top two, top three, talking points.
I got to ask you this: did Hokie Steve follow Carson Beck cheating on his girlfriend over the summer?
No,
you didn't
wait a minute. What's the story about his girlfriend's car getting stole? What was the story with that?
I don't know about that, but yeah. He was dating one of the Cavender twins.
That I do know. That
so
I
you,
do.
Okay, so you are aware of that.
I do know.
But
that.
He like moved to Miami to become the Miami quarterback, and
right.
They got the NIL.
Right.
And then like cheated on her with some Latino girl like 2 weeks later.
So
it became a TikTok story.
All right. I'm not as familiar with that, but I do know who the Cavender twins are. They actually transferred to Miami to play back. And then they went to Oregon, and then they came back.
Then they like went to TCU.
TCU. I'm sorry. They went to TCU.
They're getting a big bag of money.
I think you got to – all right, enough of that. But I think you definitely got to throw the Cristobal Canes into the equation. And they open up at home in South Florida against Notre Dame week one, Sunday night, right after the Hokies play South Carolina. The Irish are a 3-point favorite right now. I love the Canes in that game right now.
Yeah, that makes sense. One ACC team I'll throw at you I'm very excited for. That's Louisville.
They're good. They're going to be good. They're going to be good. And they got the quarterback to transfer from SC. Was it Miller Moss? Miller Moss.
Yeah.
The transfer from USC.
And their coach is the quarterback whisperer.
Jeff
I truly
Brom,
feel like that.
Jeff Brom did things at Purdue that probably will never happen again. So he's got, you know, he's good. Louisville's going to be good. The conferences can be very good. The question is, who is the one or two teams that are going to step up and get into the college playoff? Like you said, not only get into the college playoff, but then make some noise when they get there.
Steve, always appreciate you stopping by.
Anytime.
You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, not 105.1 FM. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910, The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Phone lines are open throughout the show, 833-804-0910, 833-804-0910. Richmond's home for Football Festival, August 16th at River City Roll, presented by Taylor Long Properties Commercial Real Estate. Love them. Super fans of AWOD Radio and 910, The Fan. Without their support, we would not have Football Fest 3 at River City Roll. It's time to go around the National Football League like we will at Football Fest for a full season preview. We call this segment NFL Hits on the Fan.
Every offseason rumor, every free agent on the move, and the drama surrounding the NFL draft. It's NFL Hits on AWOD Radio.
So Stubb runs the ones and twos. You can chime in 833-804-0910, 833-804-0910. Griffin, a.k.a. Biff, on this show is our intern for the summer, and he's come up with the topic, which quarterback is under the most pressure in 2025? I do really like this topic, and you guys, I feel like, no, I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers. Pressure makes diamonds. And I think he's going to actually have success this year in Pittsburgh. They just made a trade to bring in Jonnu Smith, Jalen Ramsey. They're going to be solid defensively. He's got DK Metcalf as a weapon. I think it's going to work out. What does success look like for Rodgers and Pittsburgh? 10 wins and a playoff win. They've got to win a playoff game for this to have been a success with Aaron Rodgers, but they're all in for a Super Bowl. That's the move they made. That was the thoughts there in Pittsburgh. Mike Tomlin could have his job on the line this season. He knows he's got to get his team to the postseason, and that might not even be enough to keep his job. They might have to win a playoff game. I don't think there's any quarterback under more pressure than Aaron Rodgers. He's my number one. Number two, for me, it's Sam Darnold, because I just find it nearly impossible for him to replicate 14 wins. Yeah, 14 wins that he had with the Minnesota Vikings, and he goes to a Seattle team that lost their best weapon in DK Metcalf. So number one for me is Rodgers, number two, Sam Darnold, and number three, I am saying Dak Prescott, and I don't think it's going to work out. And I told you guys before, I think this is a one and done for the Dallas Cowboys. Schottenheimer Jr. will be fired, Dak Prescott will be out, and they will pair a new coach with a new quarterback next season. That's my take on the Dallas Cowboys there. So three quarterbacks under the most pressure in 2025. For me, it's Dak, it's Sam Darnold, it's Aaron Rodgers. Let's go to the boys behind the glass. Which quarterback is under the most pressure in 2025?
Yeah, I mean, this is tough. I like the Dak answers, but I'm going to start my number one, I think, is going to be Justin Herbert. The reason I say this is because I actually talked to our boy MP. And Justin Herbert is a type of player. He's a top 10 quarterback in my opinion, but he has struggled to win games. I mean, again, you could talk about, is it the Chargers, because the Chargers team, but I think now you have a great coach in Harbaugh. You have a good Chargers defense, good Chargers offense. If Justin Herbert can't kind of get past this playoff line, I think sometimes people like to say, hey, maybe Justin Herbert isn't that guy. I think he is, but I think that's a lot of pressure going in, especially because he's a little younger on the younger side for a quarterback. My second one, I'm going to go with Dak as well. I think Dak struggled too much, and I think Dallas, if you know what's good for you, you got to get rid of Dak if he can't bring you a playoff win at all, or even a playoff just look at, you know what I mean, especially the past couple years. Cowboys have had the team. I mean, last year was injuries. But if Dak can't bring something home, I worry about his future in Dallas. And then, yeah, you took my answer, unfortunately. And it was in between Sam Darnold or even Brock Purdy. I'm not a big Brock Purdy fan, as you know. I do not think he's that good, but I think he's in the perfect position at San Fran, so I'm going to leave him off the list. I think it's also Sam Darnold, like you said. That Minnesota team, I think, was a fluke. I don't know how he played so good. And now you're going to a Seattle team where you're supposed to be the guy. You're supposed to keep Seattle in playoff hopes. And I just don't think he is that person. And I don't think he's that quarterback. And I think Seattle might have made a mistake in that one. But those are kind of my three, four-ish players.
Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys made it into the postseason and had a lot of success 2 years ago. And then the Packers put up 48 points. And all of a sudden, Dan Quinn couldn't coach defense. And that broke the Dallas Cowboys because they were awful the season after that as Dan Quinn came to Washington to become our head coach. I think I'm taking issue with you having Harbaugh on the – not Harbaugh, Justin Herbert on this list here. Why do you think Justin Herbert, who's in year two with that coaching staff there, is under more pressure than like Lamar Jackson, who's got Derrick Henry, who's got the team giving him everything, and yet they keep losing in the postseason and can't get past, you know, the Chiefs or the Bills? Why is Herbert under more pressure than Lamar Jackson?
Because Herbert can't get past the Texans. The problem, my biggest problem with, and it's really, honestly, it's kind of, while I'm talking, I really think it may not even be Herbert. You know, it may be just the Chargers franchise. Because I do believe Herbert. I do believe in Herbert. I do think he's one of the better AFC quarterbacks. But he just hasn't shown me. Like, those past playoff struggles, that really gets to me. And that's why Dak's on this list. Yeah. So I do worry about Herbert.
I get what you're saying. I think his job's safe, even if they don't have the success this year. A guy that I think is out of a job if he doesn't have success this year is, how many more years are the Arizona Cardinals going to let Kyler Murray be mediocre, right? This has got to be a playoff year, it feels like, for Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals. or Jonathan Gannon might just decide, I need a new quarterback or I'm going to be out of a job here. So I look at this as quarterbacks under pressure to maybe lose their job. And that's why I would have Kyler towards the top of this list. Stub, is there anybody we're missing? Bryce Young on your list here?
Actually, no, but I do have a couple. First of all, I think Tua is under the most pressure to stay alive. I am genuinely worried for that man's life every time he suits up.
He loves football. He don't care.
I'm sure he does. I'd love to not see him pass away on the field. Number two, Geno Smith in a new location with the Raiders. Couldn't get it done any year with the Seahawks. Yeah. I just don't think he's that good.
And I feel like that's a big one because Tom Brady's going to be watching.
Yeah, that too. I'm not a Geno Smith believer. I don't think he can get it done anywhere. I think this could be his last season before getting relegated to a backup. And finally, I think it's kind of interesting. Caleb Williams, I think, is under a lot of pressure mixed with Ben Johnson. I mean, you could weigh who's under more pressure there. But Ben Johnson's a new coach. If Caleb Williams doesn't work in what everyone thinks should be a good offense by every single standard, Chicago and Ben might want to move on from him pretty quick.
Look, I don't think it's going to happen after year two, but there are going to be all eyes on Caleb Williams after so many scouts called him a can't-miss quarterback. Ahead of Caleb, though, under more pressure, to me, is Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
The Jacksonville Jaguars.
I don't mind absolutely. That.
Right? He's going to absolutely be out of a job if it doesn't work this season in Jacksonville because Liam Cohen just won't handcuff himself to Trevor. That's probably my list there. I don't think Baker Mayfield's under that much pressure.
Oh, none.
He's had the success with Tampa Bay. I don't think Stafford's under pressure. I don't think Purdy's under pressure because he just got paid.
I challenge the Aaron Rodgers under the most pressure. This is a guy whose legacy is cemented.
Yeah, that's
who doesn't really care about this franchise and is going to retire at the end. I don't know what kind of pressure he specifically is under.
I disagree that his legacy is cemented. If he is 4-13 with the Steelers this year, there's going to be a lot of people that question how good
Aaron
Rodgers
is. He's got the
Rodgers
rings and he's got the MVPs, dude.
Does he have the rings or does he have ring?
Ring, sorry. I forgot he had one. But he's not getting another one. There's no shot he gets another one here. I just don't know if he feels like he's under more pressure than a lot of these guys.
I don't think he feels like he's under pressure. I feel like every Steelers fan feels like he's under pressure. And I do think in terms of like media scrutiny, he's going to be under the most pressure. He's going to be talked about on every channel.
That's awesome for him. That's exactly what he wants.
Maybe, but it's still pressure. Certainly, it's still pressure. It's something he's going to have to deal with. You're listening to AWOD here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. You know who's going to feel zero pressure of being the highest paid backup in the NFL this season? Kirk Cousins. You're listening to AWOD on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. I'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. We've got Stubb running the ones and twos. Biff is our intern for the summer. You know what dropped this weekend that nobody cares and nobody is talking about? Squid Game Season 3.
Yes.
The finale.
It did.
Nobody's talking about it. I watched the first episode. It was okay, and I did like Season 2, but I told you guys, Season 2 had a dumb cliffhanger. They should have just extended it and had it a long-ass Season 2 and finished it there. They took like 6 months off, and they lost all their hype.
And now we're getting
Biff watching?
I am. I watched the first two episodes, actually.
Nice.
All right. They're good.
Yeah.
We're getting a David Fincher American reboot now also. I don't know if you saw this. We're doing Squid Game again, but David Fincher's directing it.
Oh,
and it's an American cast.
That.
I guess.
I'm kind of okay with that. I like David Fincher. I want to see what they
too.
Can come up with.
I'd like him to do something that isn't this.
Right. But, I mean, it's going to be Americanized, so maybe instead of playing the childhood games in Korea, they'll play... I mean, I guess we played Red Light Green.
Right.
We played Manhunt.
A tug of war? Like, I don't know.
I'm kind of excited for the American version of this, but it's not going to be as good as the Squid Game's original and that first season.
And it just
how
happened.
Iconic it was.
And everyone watched it.
Yeah.
This is
mind-boggling. It's going to be... Their Squid Games is going to be more like Mr. Beast Squid Games than the one that we're watching right now on Netflix. But every day on AWOD Radio, we close the show by highlighting the biggest sporting event of the night. And this is the final show of AWOD Radio until next week. We've got a little vacation planned. I'm going to the beach. We've got July 4th. Hope everybody has a great holiday. We'll be back next Monday right here once again at Capitol Ale House. But since this is the only show, I might as well get this take out of the way. And I'll be honest with you guys, this is a homer take, but one that I think Biff and Stubb might really enjoy. I was talking with my buddy this weekend about just how good the Commanders could be. And I said, well, we got to pull up the schedule because it's one of the most difficult schedules in the NFL, and that's what's leading to a lot of people believing in regression. And we told you guys we're going to break down Jimmy Kempsky's article, 10 Reasons the Commanders Will Be a Dumpster Fire. Number one was regression. And I think the regression could absolutely happen. But if the Commanders get off to a good start, anything is possible. And I have circled week two against the Green Bay Packers as the tipping point of the season. I'm going to say this right now. If Washington wins week two, Stubb, Biff, if Washington wins week two in Lambeau Field on Thursday Night Football, the Washington Commanders will start 7-0. 7-0, touchdown. All we have to do is win week two at the Green Bay Packers. Week one, you couldn't ask for an easier opponent at home than the New York Giants, who are going to be figuring things out. Russell Wilson is going to be learning that offense. They're not going to know what they're doing defensively, except for Abdul Carter. Do what you can to get after the quarterback, and it's at home. Now, I'll admit, week two is a nightmare. It's a quick turnaround. It's at iconic Lambeau Field, and the Packers should be a double-digit team. And that is going to be a test right there. But we had a test last year in week two and a test last year in week three that nobody picked us to win, going to Cincinnati on Monday Night Football and beating the Bengals. And I think that's our Cincinnati game. That's our Monday Night Football week two game. If we can win Thursday night in Green Bay, you're 2-0 and you come home against the Vegas Raiders, who we just all said, I don't think it's going to work out with Geno Smith. Week four, you go to Atlanta to face off against Michael Penix and the Atlanta Falcons. I'm not scared of him. And I know Jaden Daniels wants to have a better game against the Falcons than he did this last time. Week five, you go to L.A. to play the Chargers. We just had Biff saying he doesn't even believe in Harbaugh. That's a win right there. Week six, the Chicago Bears at home. Week seven, the Dallas Cowboys. We're going to be 7-0 going to Kansas City if we can win week two against the Green Bay Packers. That's the test right there. I just feel like we're going to have so much momentum. If you can win week one and then you go to Green Bay and you beat an iconic team on an iconic field and you get to that 2-0 mark, and then it's a snowball effect, right? Just like last year when we went to Cincinnati and we had all that momentum and we came home and won all those games in a row, I think we come home after a Thursday night win and we knock off three straight opponents easily in the lousy Vegas Raiders, average Atlanta Falcons, and the average Chargers. And then... It's the rematch against Chicago that you know I'm excited for because we're going to stomp on them and not win with a Hail Mary. And then we go to Dallas and make it 7-0. I think this team could start 7-0 and still only finish with 11 wins because it's a nightmare second half of the schedule. Kansas City, Seattle, Detroit, Miami, and Madrid. Bo Nix and the Broncos, a Vikings team that's going to be hungry and in their field. And then you close it out with two games against the Eagles. But I believe if Washington can win week two, we can go 7-0 next season. And you heard it here first on 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. So when you're driving around, you're hearing Best of AWOD Radio, or you're driving around and you're hearing MP on the mic for the rest of the week, just think back when AWOD told you this team's going to go 7-0. If we can just beat the Green Bay freaking Packers week two. Anything is possible if you get off to a 2-0 start and you have all momentum in the National Football League. Will Jaden Daniels build off of his success as the Rookie of the Year? Absolutely. With the help of Deebo Samuel, who's going to be a weapon this season. With the help of Zach Ertz and Ben Sennett. And that massively improved offensive line. And we can talk all offseason long about how much better this offensive line is with Laremy Tunsil and how Brandon Coleman we think will slide into guard right and how we are excited about Josh Connerly at right tackle. I think we're all underestimating how good this offensive line is going to be when they're fully healthy. It's going to be the best offensive line the Washington Commanders may have had since the Hogs. It's definitely going to be the best offensive line we've had since RG3 win all those games his rookie season with Morgan Moses on one side and Trent Williams on the other and Brandon Scherff in the middle, and we had an actual, like, dogs on the offensive line. This is the most talented offensive line we've had in 10 years. And I really don't even think it's close. Since Trent Williams left, our offensive line hasn't been the same. That is not being talked about enough this summer, and it's because it's the unsexy position. It's the big fatties on the line. But the Hogs are going to be here to play this season, and I can't wait till we get Sam Cosmi back. And then I think you legit have five above-average offensive linemen. As a team, I think they have a chance to be a top-five offensive line in football this season. That's how you stop Jaden Daniels from a sophomore slump. That's how you stop this team from having any kind of regression. A solid, if not excellent, offensive line. 7-0 before we go to Kansas City and make miracles happen against Michael Phillips' squad. Appreciate everybody listening to the show. We close out the show with Game Day by spotlighting the biggest sporting event of the night on The Fan.
Every day on AWOD Radio is Game Day, home of the biggest sports fans in town at 910 The Fan. We'll spotlight the best sporting event of the day here on Game Day. Yeah, right back and I'm here. I got the whole team in here now. It's feeling like Game Day and it's Game Day. We're the underdogs of the year. We ranking number one on the list. We put in overtime so we ready for overtime if the clock ever hits. Game Day. Game Day. Game Day.
Biff. I hope you click that. We got to get that on TikTok. 910 The Fan trending on TikTok at 910 The Fan. Biff has been posting videos multiple times a week. We had Sal Volcano on the show last week from Impractical Jokers. My thoughts on Ace Bailey, our interviews with Coach Mooney and Coach Phil Martelli Jr. So as I was going on that rant there, did you look up the schedule? Did you start to believe that 7-0 can happen?
Sure, man. Yeah, let's go with that. No, I mean, I understand what you're saying. I could see it, especially for what this team did last year. So, yeah, I 100%. I think Green Bay is definitely out of those. Seven games is the toughest, but, you know, that Falcons dome, that's always tough to play in. And, yeah, I mean, I don't really trust the Chargers that much, but during the regular season, they're not a bad team. So it's going to be tough. I wouldn't put money on it, but I definitely see this is the first time this season I could actually see us going 7-0 in a very long time.
Absolutely. You heard it here first on AWOD Radio. Today, the FIFA Club World Cup continues with the round of 16. Inter Milan against Fluminense, and then Man City against Al Hilal. We can skip past Biff because I know he'll be watching the soccer stub. What's on your choice for game day?
You know what? I'm going to go with the O's today. I know I All do right. a lot, and they've been disappointing. Hokie Steve broke it down pretty well. Playing the Rangers tonight. Would love our guys to step up that are supposed to step up. But we've been okay. I mean, it's been 500 for like the last month. So I got good vibes.
My choice is the Wimbledon action on ESPN, ESPN2, and ESPN+. We did not see that major upset. It was Alcaraz fighting back and winning in a fifth set. You did lose Daniil Medvedev, the number 9 seed, in four sets. American Francis Tiafoe won in three straight sets, and I'll be watching Taylor Fritz, who's in action right now on court one. You've been listening to AWOD on the road, live from Capitol Ale House. Grant Polson and Danny Rouillet drive you home here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.